My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Myself, Dan Menigan, Jeff Phelps, waiting on our good pal Brian Anderson, the color voice, I should say, on the Rays Television Network.
I just had some water go down the wrong pipe. So thank you for buying me about 15 seconds.
Of course. That's what we do here.
You ever do that, you know, and you cough and all of a sudden you sound like this?
Way more often than I want to openly admit.
Yeah.
It's right up there with the fact that I've been on this earth for 36 years and eating for a good chunk of them, and yet I still somehow manage to bite my lip and or cheek. And it drives me absolutely up the wall.
I hate that. And then once you do it, you're going to do it over and over
and
over again.
In the same way of water down the wrong pipe. It's like, I've been on this earth for long enough. I should know how to drink water.
For more on cheek biting, we go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's the former Indians pitcher, now Rays analyst. He's our buddy who joins us every Friday. He's Brian Anderson. Hello, BA.
What's up, BA?
Hello, gentlemen. Listen, I apologize ahead of time for the ancillary noise. I am in the city. We are in New York City this weekend. Actually, this is one of those old wraparound series. So we play them Yankees Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday. So, again, apologize ahead of time because not much I can do about it.
No need to apologize for the hustle and or bustle.
There you go. Yeah. That's the way
and
to go.
Plenty of that when we're staying, for sure.
All right, so before we get into anything, news out of Tampa today that the Tampa City Council has approved a new funding for a new baseball stadium, where the Rays are going to pick up the majority of the tab and cost overruns, but the city's kicking in. Does that sound legit and this thing's going to be on its way?
You know what? It does. It does, because I think that this was the vote that everybody was worried about. Were they going to be able to get enough city council members to pass? That was the vote that they were worried about. There's another vote coming up at the end of the month that has more to do with, I think, the county commissioners okaying the amount of money that they're going to kick in as far as the bed tax goes and all of those things. I feel like that vote, they felt like, look, if we get to that vote, it's a done deal. That's going to pass, no question about it. What everybody was worried about was the vote of the city council. So, yes, that coming out as them having passed it, I think things are looking really good that the Rays are going to get that stadium that they've been after, really, since I went down there. You know, when I went down there to try to play again in 2008, they wanted to build a stadium down in St. Pete on the water, on the site, I think, where Al Lang Field was. And it was going to be a sail pavilion as far as the roof goes. And it was on the ballot, and I think they realized that this was not going to pass. So they ended up taking it off of the ballot, and that was back in 2008. And so they've been attempting ever since then to try to get something done, and I think they might have finally done it.
And the nice thing about it is it secures the future of the Tampa Bay Rays in Tampa, which, not that it was in question, but BA, when you've got a stadium like Tropicana Field that's not highly thought of, there's always that possibility. So that's good for that whole area.
It really is. It really is. And, you know, it's the size of, you know, the market size is, it's pretty significant.
Oh, yeah.
When you start to include Tampa, St. Pete, and then over into Orlando, Sarasota, I mean, there is a ton of populace there. And, you know, we certainly do pretty well on our ratings. We don't always get the, you know, the biggest crowds, but, you know, you can also understand why. It's not a real easy place to get to. It hasn't been the most inviting place to go to, although I will say this, having played there with the Royals and even the Indians back in, you know, 04, 05, back in that time frame, that place was an absolute dump. I mean, it was the colors of the team were drab. The colors on the inside of that building, it was just concrete. You know, it was really an awful place to go and play. And you're indoors. Feels like you're playing in somebody, your uncle's basement. It was not ideal. The new ownership group, they have done about everything you can to make that place aesthetically pleasing. They really have. They've lightened it up. They've brightened it with the lights. A lot of new paint. You know, bright colors. I mean, it's a really. They can't do much to make it any better than it is right now. And so they've put the effort in. But all the while, they've been looking for that new stadium, and I think they're finally going to get it.
All right. So I'm kind of dumb on this, BA. Are they sticking this stadium? Are they saying the ground's going to be in downtown, or are they looking in the suburbs of Tampa to put the stadium?
No. Now, here's the thing. Now, this is where it'll get really interesting. They're basically going to be building this stadium in the parking lot of Tropicana Field. I mean, that's where it's going. There's a whole refurbishing of that downtown St. Petersburg area. And so they are attempting to put the stadium in, and then they're going to have, you know, there's going to be housing, there's going to be restaurants and bars and museum. They're going to try to make it like a ballpark village.
So they want to build the village. Yep, that was the first thing that popped in my head.
Yeah, that they're thinking along those lines. So it's a much bigger project than just the stadium itself. There's going to be a lot of development, you know, that's going in around it as part of, you know, as part of the building of that stadium. And I'll tell you, it's one of those things that they better get to work, too, because, you know, Tropicana Field, they're going to have to tear that thing down after, I guess, 27. So you got to get to work. Firing up a stadium isn't that overnight that easy.
Brian Anderson joining us, color analyst for the Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays getting back to business tonight and the trade deadline coming up. Rays are in it for the wild card, BA. I don't know about the East, but you're, what, 5.5 games out for a wild card spot. So you would think there's contention there, yet you hear the Rays involved in trade rumors, especially with starting pitching. Zach Eflin's name has been thrown out there. The Guardians are looking for starting pitching, according to all reports. Do you think the Rays move on from a couple of starters? They've already moved on from Aaron Civale, trading him to Milwaukee.
Yeah, they might. They might. I think that the Rays could be one of those teams that maybe are sellers and buyers. You know, like with the idea of trading, you know, Aaron Civale was, you know, that they had a starter to fill in for him. They were going to bring Taj Bradley. He was going to come back off, you know, being injured, and he is going to, you know, take that spot in the rotation. So it's very a seamless transition. They did the same thing with Phil Maton. You know, they signed him for a lot of money in the offseason. It really wasn't working out. They weren't getting their bang for the buck. So they end up moving on from him. All the while, they've got a couple of young kids, Manny Rodriguez and Edwin Lucita, that could come up and take his spot, and they feel could pitch just as effectively. So while they sold a couple of players, they also had replacements that were not going to be a drop-off. And shoot, maybe even you know, a step up, especially in the case of the way that Taj Bradley has been throwing the baseball. So, you know, they could do the same thing, because if they do move a starter – they've got, if you guys remember, Jeffrey Springs and how effective he was for the Rays. Mm-hmm. He has gotten up to 4 or 5 innings in his last start in Durham. So he is on the cusp of coming back. So you could move on from another starter, save yourself some money, and, oh, by the way, plug in Jeffrey Springs, who's a, you know, really good pitcher. So that's the way that they might try to do things as these spots become open. They do have capable and really capable is not the right word. They have really good guys, really good players and pitchers that they would be able to plug into those spots. So while they sell on one end, they're filling it with a guy who's every bit as good as what they've sold, maybe better.
Brian Anderson, the best friend of the show, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
That's really true.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's been dubbed long ago.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. My feathers are a little bit ruffled this morning because right before I got on the air with you guys, I got an email from my boss at Bally Sports Sun informing the crew that as we go out on a West Coast trip, and here come our radio guys, Neil Soloff, Andy Freed, up top boys, they informed me that when we go on this West Coast trip, which involves, and I don't know in what order, stops in Seattle, L.A. to play the Dodgers, and a four-gamer in Oakland to play the A's, that I will be doing the pregame show, calling the game, and then doing the postgame show for all 10 games.
Yeah, baby.
I mean, oh, yeah, baby. Listen, I'll be icing the vocal cords as much as I fire off. I mean, that's going to be, I mean, I've done that before, the pregame show and the postgame show while calling the game. You know, you do that a couple of times, no big deal. 10 straight games on the road covering all of that.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, first world problems. So whatever. I get to do stuff. Now, this is the one thing that I will tell you is that in years past, when I would do that, I did not get paid for it. I did not get compensated. It was a freebie. And there was maybe 2 years ago that I actually did like 15 of those over the course of the season. So basically, they got 10% of their pre and post game shows, you know, without anything. So at least this year, I worked in, you know, the new contract.
Yes, that's good.
I tried to get it to a number where they would never use me. But apparently I didn't get it there if they're going to use me 10 straight.
It's good to know. Keep that in mind for the next one.
That's great.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I got to price myself right out of that job.
Just so then that way you're on the tail end of the trip and at least you're going, well, yeah. You know, I think Yandy Diaz could look pretty good. Yeah.
You can always come in.
You could have sounded like Doc Rivers at the tail end of this thing.
Beautiful.
There's a chance.
That's beautiful.
BA, is Randy Arozarena struggles this season because of something that's going on, or is it just a slow start and somebody should bet on the pedigree? I'm only asking as a guy who puts together a top five list every week about hitters that the Guardians could possibly target, and John Morosi reporting that they are willing to listen on Randy Arozarena.
Well, this is what I will tell you. I don't have the raw numbers in front of me, but since the beginning of June, Randy has hit in the ballpark right around 300, and his on-base percentage since the beginning of June is right around 400. And power and production have gone up. So you listen. That's a month and a half. That's a month and a half of you know 300, 400 on base, more slug, more long balls, more runs driven in. So he had gotten off to such a horrendous start that nothing short of a miracle would even get him back to respectable. And so you look at the overall numbers, you're like, yeah, he's having a down year, and he is. However, like I said, since the beginning of June, he has been much more the Randy Arozarena you expect. And you know, like you can't argue with 300 and a 400 on base. So he obviously is seeing the ball a lot better, taking his walks, and when he does put the ball in play, you know, 300 batting average in today's game, and you know, not many guys sit there. So he's been really good the last month and a half.
Brian Anderson joining us, a former Indians pitcher, Rays analyst. You're the Guardians. You're in first place at the All-Star break. You have a 4.5 game lead. It's slipped a little bit here as you head down the stretch. You're 7-11 going into the All-Star break, and your starting rotation has one person in it who you really thought was going to be one of the key guys in it at the beginning of the season. Can you rely on guys who maybe you sent down to come back? Logan Allen, Tristan McKenzie. Can you rely on a young minor leaguer coming back to health, Joey Cantillo, to step in, a guy you traded for in Spencer Howard who was DFA'd by another team? Or do you have to go out and add somebody here because you have a 4.5 game lead and a chance to win things this year?
Yeah, you know what? We've talked about this before, and I think that in the case of Cleveland, they have to do something. If for no other reason, they need to send a message to that to the clubhouse that they are all in. And they need to send a message to the fan base that you know we're here to win. And if you're 4.5 games up and you stand pat, everybody's I don't know. Obviously the deal has to be right, but I think that you have to unearth and turn over every stone that you possibly can to try and make that team better. And certainly there are areas that every team out there can improve. There's no question that it's not like, well, what do we really need? No, everybody needs something. And so I think that. they owe it to, not really to the fans. I mean, that's part of it, but they owe it to that clubhouse first and foremost to say, hey, guys, we believe in you, and we're going to go get a couple of pieces here that we think is going to put us over the top. So I think they've, because of the record that they've put together, because of the fact they are 4.5 games in first place, they've kind of painted themselves into a corner that you have to do something. If you don't, boy, is that a bad look.
B.A., thank you very much, buddy. The color analyst for the Tampa Bay Rays game, pregame, and postgame shows.
Yes, sir.
Rest the vocal cords. Drink the tea. We can't have you sounding like Doc Rivers on us. All right.
Thanks, buddy.
Take care.
B.A. joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline from New York, where the Rays are going to play. Season starts up again tonight for the Guardians. They are 58.6% into their season. They played 95 of the 162 games. What a perfect time for our 58.6% of the season awards. They're coming up next on Baskin and Phelps with Menigan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yep. Here we go. We'll begin with the most valuable player of the first 58.6% of the season awards. And Dan, There was competition here, but how do you not pick Jose Ramirez as the most valuable player of this team? 23 home runs, 77 runs batted in, 100 hits. He's been doing it. He's been doing it well. Josh Naylor's been outstanding as well, but I give the nod to Jose.
He's honored at the pick. He accepts the award on behalf of all of the people who have helped him get to this point. I think he is the most valuable if you go by the best player on this team. Like, this feels like one of those MVP arguments where you get two sets of people fighting with each other, where you're like, well, then define most valuable.
Dude, second in the majors and runs batted in.
Right. Define most valuable, because while, yes, he is the best player and has had the best season to this point, there's another guy who, if you go by most valuable, as in if I yank him off of this team, what happens? That might be a really interesting conversation.
Does he throw the ball for a living?
Yep.
We're getting to that.
Yep.
Don't jump ahead.
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
My goodness.
Would you give it to Jose over Josh Naylor, even though Josh has been outstanding?
Yes, I would give it to Jose.
I would too.
When you are breaking walk records by teams intentionally walking you three times in a game that hasn't been done since Barry Bonds, you get an MVP award for that.
And you definitely should. Next up, I wanted to call it the Cy Young Award, but I'm going to do one better. It's the Bob Feller Award for the outstanding pitcher of the Cleveland Guardians. Outstanding pitcher. I've got three awards. You're going to have to bear with me on this. The Bob Feller Award goes to the man who closes out games like nobody's business. That would be Emmanuel Clase. You okay with that one?
Yeah, I don't love giving it to a reliever, but the bullpen's been the story when it's come to the pitching part of this. So, yeah, I can live with that.
Second in the major leagues with 29 saves, Emmanuel Clase, and his earned run average in the first 58.6% of the season.
He's going Blutarski.
0.81.
Where you want it to be. I mean, this is the, you know, congratulations, Mr. Kroger. You're at the top of the Delta Pledge class, except it truly is an honor.
I think he's just been incredible. And a nice bounce back from last year when he wasn't really incredible. The starting pitcher award, best starting pitcher in the first 58.6% of the season.
Which everyone knows. That's a cutoff.
Say who? What'd you say?
I said everybody knows that 56 point whatever is a true cutoff of a mark of excellence.
It has to be Tanner Bibee.
Yes.
Dare I say this, it's by default. He's been effective. There's no question about that. But Logan Allen is in AAA. Carlos Carrasco's ERA is over 5. Tristan McKenzie is in AAA. And Ben Lively, though terrific, has started 3 fewer games and has not been quite as good as Tanner Bibee. So Tanner's been outstanding. He gets my starting pitcher award for the first 58.6% of the season.
105 innings on the season. It is looking like he will find his way to 180-some-odd innings this season. I wonder if they maybe try to stretch it even a little bit further to help this pen out down the stretch run.
I wouldn't be surprised at that.
He's been exactly what this team has needed, and hopefully he continues to be what this team has needed. Yes, you'd love the ERA to not be 377. You'd love that to be closer to 3, but hey, man, he's got time to work it down.
In honor of how good the bullpen has been, I gave the Bob Feller Award to Emmanuel Clase. We also have a reliever of the first 58.6% of the season award. And this was tough.
I believe it.
Goes to Hunter Gaddis.
Yeah.
1.19 ERA. 1.19 for Hunter Gaddis coming out of the bullpen. Second best ERA in the team to Emmanuel Clase. But the competition, Tim Herron's been terrific. 1.45. Eli Morgan was good when he was here, but you know Eli hasn't pitched that very much. Cade Smith has been outstanding. Mm-hmm. I mean, they found somebody here. And remember this.
Blowing dudes away.
Yeah, remember this, Guardian fans. We thought there might be a big problem when Trevor Stephan was out for the year because of Tommy John surgery. Because Trevor Stephan has built himself into a big-time setup guy. Well, now Stephan's been out. Hunter Gaddis has stepped up. Tim Herron has stepped up. Cade Smith has stepped up. They've been really good. Nick Sandlin, until recently, has been lights out almost every time in there. The bullpen has been incredible. But I give the award to Hunter Gaddis.
Love it. No complaints, no thought. I mean, the only one I would have argued maybe would be Cade Smith, but boy, right there, we're grasping at straws. I mean, it's everybody out of that bullpen is pretty much a winner of any of this award. I mean, it's just a personal preference thing.
You ready? Here we go.
Let's get cooking.
Now we get a little fun. The Oscar Gonzalez Memorial Award.
Oh, no. I feel like we need to change the mood. Like, are you sure you want to give this away?
The Oscar Gonzalez Memorial Award.
Sure.
Goes to my favorite big, strong, hitting outfielder who might actually become something someday.
Are you ready to move on? Are you sure?
Jonathan Rodriguez and John Kenzie Noel were really the only nominees for the award. I'm going with John Kenzie Noel. Why? Because he's here. And he did better than Jonathan Rodriguez.
Best ability is location.
John Kenzie, has 4 home runs and 7 runs batted in 35 at-bats. By God, I love those percentages.
All right.
If you even give him 350 at-bats in those ratios, that means that the dude ends up with 40 home runs and 70 runs batted in 350 at-bats. He's replacing Oscar Gonzalez in my heart.
He can move, too. He can run pretty well, yeah.
Throws okay. All right, so, I like it.
So the other one on the total, pull the curtain back for half a second here.
Mm-hmm.
Do we like the big Christmas nickname? The dude's name is Noel. They're really pushing this.
He's got to be some. His name's Noel.
I don't mind it.
How do you not make it? Some kind of Christmas thing.
It kind of feels like we're trying to make fetch happen here, and I don't want to get behind that.
He's 6'3", 250. You're not going to call him Tiny Christmas.
Well, why are we going Christmas? I mean,
name's Noel.
Okay. It feels like we're trying to make fetch happen. I don't like it.
You don't like it at all?
Well, it's one of those. It feels pushed. It's not natural.
Well, guess what?
We'll get there.
It is.
We'll get there. I mean, we could all yell Merry Christmas when he hits a home run. Like, that's... Or at least a game winner. Are we going to get one of those?
You're going to like this.
Okay. All right, we'll move on.
Impression of Ichiro in 2009 award goes to Mr. Stephen Kwan. Why? Stephen Kwan's batting average, .352. Ichiro's batting average in 2009, .352. You don't do a much better impression than that, do you? Kwan with more power, though. 9 home runs, 27 runs batted in. Dude's hitting leadoff. Nobody's on base. We've seen the bottom of that order.
He's rearing back on early parts of the count and actually like trying to do some damage. It's great to see.
Does it show how poorly the bottom of the order is hitting, however, when 9 of his 27 runs batted in has been hitting himself in?
Well, look,
that leaves 18 runs batted in of somebody being on base when he hits. The guy's hitting .352, and other than hitting himself in, he's been able to drive in only 18 runs because nobody's on base.
You don't want to leave work for other people to do. You want to do all the work yourself. You know, that way it's done right.
For whatever it's worth, Ichiro in 2009 hit .352, did not win the batting title. Went to Joe Mauer at .365.
I was going through in my head trying to figure out who was going
to
win that.
Went to Joe Mauer. Yeah. The ready?
Both of them, actually.
The enjoy second base while you can award goes to Andrés Giménez.
Well, you know, when you got such a deep field that you got to go against with the enjoy second base while you can.
Goes to Andrés Giménez. Why? Well, Travis Pezzana's on the way. We've been told by people who know he's a second baseman, maybe an outfielder, but he's a second baseman. And Andrés is hitting .252, not building on last year's .251, and completely leaving 2022's .297 all-star batting average in the dust. So the guy who hit .297 a couple of years ago hasn't been seen since. And that, to me, screams he's going to either be the shortstop or he's going to get traded when Travis Pezzana is ready to go.
I am thrilled you're saying it out loud because I didn't want the hate to come my way for wanting to say it out loud.
What, shortstop or trade?
His hitting has been...
mediocre at best.
Meh.
The dude hit .297 a couple of years ago and looked like the real deal.
And you handed him a contract.
Yeah.
And now, the power has never come around.
.251 and .252.
The on base is going down.
Yep.
And the batting average is going down, and the slug hasn't been all that high to begin with.
Yep. Mm. Our last award. You ready?
Glad you said it.
Last award. The Where Have You Gone, Joe DiMaggio Award. I was thinking a little Simon and Garfunkel there. By the way, I have a friend who married a guy named Robinson, and she went, "Oh my God, I am Mrs. Robinson." The Where Have You Gone, Joe DiMaggio Award goes to the Guardians' offense. Why do I say that? Nice. I like that.
Hey, and I've got my moments.
Here it is. In April, March and April combined, this team scored 5.2 runs per game. In May, 5 runs per game. In June, 4.6 runs per game. In July, 3.6 runs per game. It's down 1.5 runs per game since the April 5.2, and 5 runs in the last 4 games going into the All-Star break. 5 runs in the last 4 games, 2 or fewer runs in 16 of 13 games in July. So the Where Have You Gone, Joe DiMaggio Award goes to the Guardians offense. Hopefully it was discovered during the All-Star break. Those are our awards. If you have any thoughts, by all means, let us know. We'd appreciate that. Menigan wants to talk All-Star team playing the Olympic team. It's fascinating. It's next on Baskin and Phelps. Although, yes, Team USA against WNBA All-Stars.
Yep.
In other words, the ladies that made it against the ladies that didn't.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness. I love this.
If you want an All-Star game that you know everybody is going to be going all out, this is your All-Star game. Because let me tell you, if you don't think Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark and that whole group are going to be looking at the women and wearing the Team USA jerseys.
They're going nuts, man.
Oh, there's a point to be proven. This might be the first All-Star game in a good period of time that I'm actually like locked in, going to tune into, because I got a feeling this is going to be some of the best basketball we're going to watch all year from the men or the women, and probably better than some of the Olympic basketball we're going to end up watching.
I think it's going to be great. I'll actually watch that game. That'll be fun.
I mean, you've got a whole group of people being told you're not good enough to be in this exclusive club, and now you're going to play against them.
And the Minnesota coach is the coach of Team USA, who has not really backed down about the people she didn't put on the Olympic team, or that she and others didn't put on the Olympic. Mm-hmm. She's not been shy about, you know, kind of saying, well, you don't deserve to be here. I think it's fascinating.
I think it is, too. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's something to keep an eye on throughout this entire thing. Because, again, I got a feeling if you want, you know, we all sit there and talk about, you know, the All-Star games of the past where everybody would play lockdown defense and they cared and all that stuff. I got a feeling you're going to see a little bit of that in this game. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. The other interesting one, Sabrina Ionescu and Caitlin Clark will not be doing the three-point competition for the WNBA All-Star game.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They both decided not to.
Well, now, see, that's stupid.
That's my thought, too.
I'm sorry. Sabrina thought enough about her three-point shooting ability to take on Steph Curry. So why wouldn't you go up against the other ladies in your league? And Caitlin Clark's the name in the WNBA at the moment, and she's known for shooting, you know, those logo threes, even though I hate the idea of a logo three. Because to me, the logo is actually at center court. It's not like, you know, between center court and the three-point line. But that's okay. Works for many announcers, so that's fine. They should be in it.
They should. But So this is the argument of this. It kind of feels like, you know, we've screamed for years for LeBron James to do the dunk contest.
Do the dunk contest.
Yeah. And he never did it. And the reason he never did it is... We don't have a for sure answer on this, but the thought has always been, well, I got nothing to prove, so why would I do this?
And
the only thing
you would think it would do nothing but, if it's even possible, hurt LeBron's brand,
right?
If he didn't win the thing.
If somebody beat him, the story would be who beat him, and the story would not be the talent of LeBron James.
The story would be that LeBron didn't win.
Exactly.
Yeah, and the second would be he lost to this guy.
So if he won, you would go, well, of course he won. He's LeBron James. And if he lost, good golly. And that was always kind of the thought of LeBron not doing the slam dunk contest. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's the direction we're going when it comes to like Caitlin Clark and Sabrina Ionescu when it comes to the three-point contest.
I don't know.
Where they're like, if one of us doesn't win, but like even that is like, come on. I want to see the competition. I want to see you guys go head to head. I want to see who is the better shooter of it all. And I hope that maybe it's, you know, the rest of the Olympics and that stuff on the Sabrina side of it. I don't know why Caitlin Clark isn't doing it, but maybe it's the Olympic rest, but like that's a bummer on top of it, because that would have been really fun. You know, I love watching the people who are the best at what they do go against each other to find out who truly is the best.
You know, at least in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, this will be fun to watch because it'll get cranked up. It's July 20th in Phoenix. And if you're looking for a tune-up game, if you're Team USA and you need a tune-up game, by golly, there it is.
There it is. And this is a fun one. I'll give you one more fun little subplot in this whole thing.
Okay.
Alyssa Thomas plays for the Connecticut Sun. She is going to the Olympics. Her fiance, Dawana Bonner, is on the all-star team and did not go into the Olympics. If you don't think that's coming up at home, then you don't know athletes. And if you don't think that one's personal, then you don't know athletes, because that's fun.
That's interesting.
So, yeah, and the other things to watch. That'll be a really fun all-star game. Did you see as well, did you see their media deal that came down?
Yeah.
$1.1 billion over the next 5 years, no, 4 years, for the WNBA media package.
Do we hear anybody complaining about Caitlin Clark now? Angel Reese now? Anybody complaining?
Kelsey Plum?
She's not complaining.
No, no, I mean, that's...
No, but, sorry, until Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese... Caitlin, the main impetus for that, but Angel Reese certainly has been terrific and did have some impetus in this. Sorry, you weren't getting a $1.something billion to televise your, what, 40-game regular season? Sorry. So go ahead and cry all you want.
Wow.
When you're on your way to the bank.
Good for them. Good for the salaries of the league. Good for the owners of the league and all that stuff as well. Sure. That is excellent.
Good to the future expansion of the league, because that's going to happen.
Oh, that is for sure happening. They're already circling various locations that they want to put teams in, because definitely expansion is coming, and especially if you're going to get handed that much of a marketing of a TV deal, good golly, you're going to be able to find this all over the place and be able to and see it. It's going to be great.
And
it's
going
been
back
a great
to,
product.
Going back to our early conversation, you could probably see it on 7 different networks sooner rather than later.
All right, and then on the other one, to wrap up the women's sports business corner, Angel City FC, which is a national women's soccer team, right? Or the NWSL, National
Where?
Women's Soccer League, which is over in California.
Los Angeles?
In LA.
Angel City?
Bob Iger, the former CEO of Disney and his wife, purchased the controlling share of that team. You ready for this number?
Okay.
$250 million for the NWSL team.
Bob Iger either needs a tax write-off or he knows something.
Mm-hmm. Bob Iger isn't dumb.
Nope.
The one thing the mouse knows how to do, it's print money. The mouse knows how to print money. Ask any parent who's taken a family of four to Disneyland.
That'd be me.
The world, I should say. The mouse knows how to print money.
Or Disneyland.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So, fascinating. Because you're right. It's not out of the goodness of his heart that he's ponying up. That is the largest amount ever given to a women's soccer league.
That's a lot of money.
Or to a women's professional sport, I should say.
That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
For a team that... In a league that, and forgive me, very few people know a ton about. I mean, I know it exists, and I know that Dennis Rodman's daughter plays in it, correct?
She's awesome.
That's about all I know
and
about.
Really fun, too.
That's all about all I know about that league. And now Bob Iger buys controlling interest in a team for $250 million. That's a quarter of a billion dollars.
Uh-huh. So keep an eye out, because all of this stuff is starting to go up and the eyeballs are starting to find their way there on things that are vastly, vastly interesting.
Is that, riddle me this.
Sure.
Does that have anything to do with Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and the explosion of women's basketball? That Iger thinks, wait a minute, let me get in on this before it goes nuts.
Actually, I think it's the other direction. I think it's the amount of people who pay attention to the U.S. women's national team.
Okay.
And the fact that they
and have for some time
traveling women's dominant show that they are. And you are starting to see, because what's happening is now, and this is what's going to be fascinating in the Olympics, for those of you who pay attention to such things, the world is coming. And you are starting to see it in some of these World Cups and all of that, that the world is coming. The U.S. women's national team did not win the World Cup last year. Now you have the Olympics. The world is coming. The talent is being invested all over the world on the women's side of soccer, which is not the case for a very long time, because old Sepp Blatter, and the worst quote that's ever been said when talked about women's sports ratings, which was him saying, hey, maybe have them wear shorter shorts and that'll get eyeballs, which was the worst quote that was ever said by Sepp Blatter, and it has lit a fire. The world is coming. And I think Bob Iger making that move tells you that more talent is going to find its way there from the world, and that he wants to be in on it for the National Women's Soccer League.
Very interesting. If the league needed a shot of credibility, that gives it to it. If a high-ranking, very highly respected businessman puts $250 million into your league, into one of your teams, that's an absolute shot of adrenaline pumped into that league.
Absolutely. Yep. I think it's more Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese riding the wave that the U.S. women's national team has created.
Interesting.
And you're starting to see it in the NWSL, and they're now talking expansion.
Guardians Padres tonight. Chris Ossenheimer from the Chronicle Telegram will be there to cover that game. Oh, but before that, he's going to join us, and he's coming up next right here on Baskin and Phelps. Although, yes, Team USA against WNBA All-Stars.
Yep.
In other words, the ladies that made it against the ladies that didn't.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness. I love this.
If you want an all-star game that you know everybody is going to be going all out, this is your all-star game. Because let me tell you, if you don't think Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark and that whole group are going to be looking at the women wearing the Team USA jerseys.
They're going nuts, man.
Oh, there's a point to be proven. This might be the first All-Star game in a good period of time that I'm actually like locked in, going to tune into, because I got a feeling this is going to be some of the best basketball we're going to watch all year from the men or the women, and probably better than some of the Olympic basketball we're going to end up watching.
I think it's going to be great. I'll actually watch that game. That'll be fun.
I mean, you've got a whole group of people being told you're not good enough to be in this exclusive club, and now you're going to play against them.
And the Minnesota coach is the coach of Team USA, who has not really backed down about the people she didn't put on the Olympic team, or that she and others didn't put on the Olympic. Mm-hmm. She's not been shy about, you know, kind of saying, well, you don't deserve to be here. I think it's fascinating.
I think it is, too. And it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's something to keep an eye on throughout this entire thing. Because, again, I got a feeling if you want, you know, we all sit there and talk about, you know, the all-star games of the past where everybody would play lockdown defense and they cared and all that stuff. I got a feeling you're going to see a little bit of that in this game. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. The other interesting one, Sabrina Ionescu and Caitlin Clark will not be doing the three-point competition for the WNBA All-Star game.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They both decided not to.
Well, now, see, that's stupid.
That's my thought, too.
I'm sorry. Sabrina thought enough about her three-point shooting ability to take on Steph Curry. So why wouldn't you go up against the other ladies in your league? And Caitlin Clark's the name in the WNBA at the moment, and she's known for shooting, you know, those logo threes, even though I hate the idea of a logo three. Because to me, the logo is actually at center court. It's not like, you know, between center court and the three-point line. But that's okay. Works for many announcers, so that's fine. They should be in it.
They should. But so this is the argument of this. It kind of feels like, you know, we've screamed for years for LeBron James to do the dunk contest.
Never did the dunk contest.
Yeah. And he never did it. And the reason he never did it is we don't have a for sure answer on this, but the thought has always been, well, I got nothing to prove, so why would I do this?
And
the only thing
you would think it would do nothing but, if it's even possible, hurt LeBron's brand.
Right.
If he didn't win the thing.
If somebody beat him, the story would be who beat him, and the story would not be the talent of LeBron James.
The story would be that LeBron didn't win.
Exactly.
Yeah, and the second would be he lost to this guy.
So if he won, you would go, well, of course he won. He's LeBron James. And if he lost, good golly. And that was always kind of the thought of LeBron not doing the slam dunk contest. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's the direction we're going when it comes to, like, Caitlin Clark and Sabrina Ionescu, when it comes to the three-point contest.
I don't know.
Where they're like, if one of us doesn't win. But, like, even that is like, come on. I want to see the competition. I want to see you guys go head-to-head. I want to see who is the better shooter of it all. And I hope that maybe it's, you know, the rest of the Olympics and that stuff on the Sabrina side of it. I don't know why Caitlin Clark isn't doing it. But maybe it's the Olympic rest. But, like, that's a bummer on topic because that would have been really fun. You know, I love watching the people who are the best at what they do go against each other to find out who truly is the best.
You know, at least fun. In that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, this will be fun to watch because it'll get cranked up. It's July 20th in Phoenix. And if you're looking for a tune-up game, if you're Team USA and you need a tune-up game, by golly, there it is.
There it is. And this is a fun one. I'll give you one more fun little subplot in this whole thing.
Okay.
Alyssa Thomas plays for the Connecticut Sun. She is going to the Olympics. Her fiance, Dawana Bonner, is on the All-Star team and did not go into the Olympics. If you don't think that's coming up at home, then you don't know athletes. And if you don't think that one's personal, then you don't know athletes, because that's fun.
That's interesting.
So, yeah, and the other things to watch. That'll be a really fun All-Star game. Did you see as well, did you see their media deal that came down?
Yeah.
$1.1 billion over the next 5 years, no, 4 years, for the WNBA media package.
Do we hear anybody complaining about Caitlin Clark now? Angel Reese now? Anybody complaining?
Kelsey Plum?
She's not complaining.
No. I mean, that's...
No, but sorry. Until Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese... Caitlin, the main impetus for that, but Angel Reese certainly has been terrific and did have some impetus in this. Sorry, you weren't getting a $1.something billion to televise your, what, 40-game regular season? Sorry. So go ahead and cry all you want.
Wow.
When you're on your way to the bank.
Good for them. Good for the salaries of the league. Good for the owners of the league and all that stuff as well.
Sure.
That is excellent.
Good to the future expansion of the league, because that's going to happen.
Oh, that is for sure happening. They're already circling various locations that they want to put teams in, because definitely expansion is coming, and especially if you're going to get handed that much of a marketing of a TV deal, good golly, you're going to be able to find this all over the place and be able to see it. It's going to be great.
And
it's
going
been
back
a great
to,
product.
Going back to our early conversation, you could probably see it on 7 different networks sooner rather than later.
All right, and then on the other one, to wrap up the women's sports business corner, Angel City FC, which is a national women's soccer team, right? Or the NWSL, National Women's Soccer League, which is over in California.
Los Angeles?
In LA.
Angel City?
Bob Iger, the former CEO of Disney and his wife, purchased the controlling share of that team. You ready for this number?
Okay.
$250 million. For the NWSL team.
Bob Iger either needs a tax write-off or he knows something.
Mm-hmm. Bob Iger isn't dumb.
Nope.
The one thing the mouse knows how to do, it's print money. The mouse knows how to print money. Ask any parent who's taken a family of four to Disneyland.
That'd be me.
World, I should say. The mouse knows how to print money.
Or Disneyland.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So, fascinating. Because you're right. It's not out of the goodness of his heart that he's ponying up. That is the largest amount ever given to a women's soccer league.
That's a lot of money.
Or to a women's professional sport, I should say.
That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
For a team that, in a league that, and forgive me, very few people know a ton about. I mean, I know it exists. And I know that Dennis Rodman's daughter plays in it, correct?
She's awesome.
That's about all I know about.
Really fun, too.
That's about all I know about that league. And now Bob Iger buys controlling interest in a team for $250 million. That's a quarter of $1 billion.
Uh-huh. So keep an eye out, because all of this stuff is starting to go up and the eyeballs are starting to find their way there on things that are vastly, vastly interesting.
Is that, riddle me this.
Sure.
Does that have anything to do with Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and the explosion of women's basketball? That Iger thinks, wait a minute, let me get in on this before it goes nuts.
Actually, I think it's the other direction. I think it's the amount of people who pay attention to the U.S. women's national team.
Okay.
And the fact that they
have for some time
traveling women's dominant show that they are. And you are starting to see, because what's happening is now... And this is what's going to be fascinating in the Olympics, for those of you who pay attention to such things. The world is coming. And you are starting to see it in some of these World Cups and all of that, that the world is coming. The U.S. women's national team did not win the World Cup last year. Now you have the Olympics. The world is coming. The talent is being invested all over the world on the women's side of soccer, which is not the case for a very long time, because old Sepp Blatter, in the worst quote that's ever been said when talked about women's sports ratings, which was... him saying, hey, maybe have him wear shorter shorts and that'll get eyeballs, which was the worst quote that was ever said by Sepp Blatter. And it has lit a fire. The world is coming. And I think Bob Iger making that move tells you that more talent is going to find its way there from the world, and that he wants to be in on it for the National Women's Soccer League.
Very interesting. If the league needed a shot of credibility, that gives it to it. If a high-ranking, very highly respected businessman puts $250 million into your league, into one of your teams, that's an absolute shot of adrenaline pumped into that league.
Absolutely. In fact, I think it's more Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese riding the wave that the U.S. women's national team has created.
Interesting.
And you're starting to see it in the NWSL, and they're now talking expansion.
Guardians Padres tonight. Chris Ossenheimer from the Chronicle Telegram will be there to cover that game. But before that, he's going to join us, and he's coming up next right here on Baskin and Phelps.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.